Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As we near Jerusalem, what is becoming ever clearer to us this Lent is that we must journey through the wilderness together in love. To speak of the wilderness is to speak of the very restlessness of our own hearts. We are each confronted on a daily basis with the feelings of isolation, alienation, and loneliness. Our struggles are real. In many ways, this pandemic and the restrictions of the past year have only heightened our awareness of these feelings, and with them, a very real sense of being scattered across the wilderness, both from within and from without. And this house, a place of sacred learning, a place so near and dear to so many of us, is not without exception. Our community feels more scattered perhaps now than at any other point in living memory. Our wilderness this Lent has been one of grandchildren unable to mourn at their grandparents' funeral, friends unable to pray at the graveside of a longtime fellow parishioner, newlyweds who can count their married life not in years but weeks, who now find themselves stranded on opposite sides of the Atlantic, a husband and a wife married for well over half a century, physically drawn apart due to ill health, and the chapter of this house, who find themselves now scattered because of illness, the demands of homeschooling, childcare, and international travel restrictions. But we also find ourselves scattered in the more ordinary, day-to-day moments of our life. A broken dishwasher in the kitchen, and with it, the ensuing mugs and plates scattered across Pusey. Voices praying the Psalms at evensong, each struggling to reach out and find the other in a large, empty chapel. Or having received one instruction at the end of Mass, go in the peace of Christ, to receive yet another. Depart from the west doors on your way out, and please do remember to scatter. In this wilderness, in the very restlessness of our hearts, in our scattered community, where then are we to find refreshment? That is what we are being asked today. And yet, even in the wilderness, the very place where we are so helpless, vulnerable, and fragile, the wilderness also becomes a place of refreshment, opportunity, growth. It is here where we will come to discover revelation, encounter miracles, and indeed be converted. Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. Set before us in the gospel this morning is the feeding of the 5,000. With only 5 barley loaves of bread, 2 small fishes, Jesus miraculously feeds this great company of people. Yet, what is this bread? This is not the same bread, the manna that rained down from heaven unto Moses and the Israelites in the desert of Sinai. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Yes, they have been fed with bread, but how can anyone satisfy these people with bread alone? For that matter, how can anyone satisfy us with bread? On the first Sunday in Lent, Jesus rebukes the devil Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We are each in need of the bread of life. Only with the bread of heaven, the eternal word, will we be satisfied. Will we find true refreshment in the wilderness? Jesus tells us, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Only Jesus will satisfy the longings of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. The feeding of the 5,000 offers us a glimpse, a foretaste of the heavenly realities. The first thing we encounter in this miracle is an offering made to God. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Bread and fish are freely given by this boy. This morning, bread and wine will be placed on the altar as part of our offering of praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God. And Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks over the offering. Our Lord prays over the gifts, just as Father Mark will in a few minutes. And in so doing, they are taken up, multiplied, and given a super, overflowing abundance. In so doing, we see creation, the created order, represented before God, our Creator. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. The disciples feed the gathered community on the grass. And in this, we encounter a different economy from that of the world. Not one of exchange, but that of gift, freely given and received. A generosity poured out for us through his abundant grace. God does not want us to starve. Rather, he would feed us the bread of eternal life. These 3 actions, offering, blessing, feeding, are the movements of the divine economy. They are the waypoints our soul encounters in every celebration of the Holy Communion. The very word of God, the bread of heaven that we will gaze upon, hold in our hands, and feed on this morning, goes forth from the Father out of his heaven. Moses tells the Israelites, let no man leave of the bread till the morning. For if it is left till the next day, the bread is full of worms and stinks. But today, we now see the opposite. Jesus tells his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. As a former chaplain of mine put it, the word accomplishes that for which the Father sent it, to bring fallen creation, all of us, back again to our spiritual home, for which we seek, groan, long for, and desire. We are those scattered fragments, this community of Pusey House. Each one of us is invited to be taken up, drawn into heaven with the divine word, united one with another in the mystical body of Christ, the very bread of life. We are one body because we all share in the one bread. And for many of our community who cannot be with us this morning and physically feed upon the word, you are no less drawn in and made partakers of the mystical body of Christ. Pusey's prayer for spiritual communion is a prayer written on all our hearts this Lent. O my Savior, would that I could ever be united to thee. There is no life that is not in community. as T.S. Eliot phrases in the chorus from The Rock. He describes the gathered and the scattered. What life have you if you have not life together? There is no life that is not community, and no community not lived in praise of God. Even the anchorite who meditates alone, for whom the days and the nights repeat the praise of God. Prayers for the church, the body of Christ incarnate. And now you live dispersed on ribbon roads, and no man knows or cares who his neighbor, unless his neighbor makes too much disturbance. But all dash to and fro in motor cars, familiar with the roads, and settled nowhere. How might those lines speak to us today? As the church, as the body of Christ incarnate, we as the gathered community are given the ability to truly bear one another's burdens. How then do we live together? What might that look like in this place? We find an answer to this question in the words that our Savior, Christ, has commanded and taught us. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. Bread and forgiveness. We, each one of us, are called to ask for forgiveness and to willingly forgive one another, just as we ask God to give us everything we need and ask God to forgive us our sins. And in that, we, the scattered, the fragmented, are gathered up and made one. We, the wandering and the lost children of God, are brought back to the fold. In this way, St. Augustine's prayer in his confession becomes our prayer. I shall not turn aside till thou, my God, my mercy, shall gather in all that I am from this dispersion and deformity, and conform it and confirm it in eternity. This morning, we are invited to look up and be refreshed by the vision of our spiritual home, the heavenly Jerusalem. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolation. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Yet, the crisis that confronts us all is that there is no way to the Jerusalem above, which is free and the mother of us all, but through the Jerusalem below, the one of Jesus' rejection, suffering, passion, and death. The bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. It is only that bread broken for us on the cross, that drink poured out for us on the cross, which can ever truly satisfy us. Through this darkness and the apparent hopelessness of Passiontide, we shall live and love in him forever, with the knowledge that even in his sacred wounds, the resurrected flesh, the Word incarnate, returns to heaven with his wounds of love poured out for each and every one of us. Let us this morning, therefore, come together and share in the very bread of life. As the grain once scattered in the fields, and the grapes once dispersed on the hillside, are now reunited on this table in bread and wine. So, Lord, may our whole church soon be gathered together from the corners of the earth into your kingdom. Amen.